Thank you.
Well, good morning again, everyone. We're talking today about practicing not what you preach, although you should be doing that if you're preaching the right thing, but practicing what he preached, all right? Practicing what Jesus preached. The parable that was just read for us, two sons are told to go work in the field by their father. The first one says, yeah, I'll do it, but then he doesn't do it. The second one says, oh, I don't have time for that, but then later decides to go and do it. And the question is, who did what their father asked? And of course, the answer is easy, right? It's the one that said, that did what his father asked. Not the one that said he was going to do it, but the one that actually did what was asked. Jesus tells this parable to the Pharisees and then tells them that the tax collectors and the prostitutes are getting into the kingdom of heaven before them. You know, it's interesting when we read words in the Bible, especially when you've been around it, you know, a long time. You can almost become too comfortable. You should never be that comfortable with the Bible, really. But we can read over words like tax collector, you know, kind of has a negative connotation in our society, but not nearly like it did in the days of Jesus, because it also meant you are a thief. You were a part of an oppressive government. You were not allowed to really fellowship with you know, other Jews. And so you were an outcast. You were an outsider. And prostitute pretty much meant prostitute. And it's interesting, if we were to use that term in any other context, talking about anything whatsoever, and that term comes up, it's not, I even feel uncomfortable saying it up here from the pulpit, unless I'm just reading it. Because I'm reading it, well, yeah, the prostitutes are good people in the Bible, right? I mean, Jesus says this, and I can become too comfortable with it. But that word needs to hit me as hard as it would in any other area of my life when I hear a word like that. Whoa, the prostitutes are getting into the kingdom before the spiritually, you know, supposedly, those that know the scriptures, those who are sitting in the judgment seat of Moses, the prostitutes are getting in before them. That should strike me. What is going on here? What is Jesus saying? In the very next parable, he tells about a man who owned some land, and he had people working the land. And he tries to send people to go collect, and they hurt and they kill the people who he's sending. So finally he says, well, I'm going to send my son. Well, they take the son and they kill him as well. And he says at the end of that parable, he says, what you have been given, talking to the Pharisees, what you've been given is going to be taken from you and given to those who produce fruit. You are in the position. You say that you want to follow what God wants, but you're not doing it. So it's going to be taken from you and given to those who produce fruit. It's not about what you say. It's not about how you look. It's not about the position that you're in. It's about whether or not you do what God wants you to do. That's the message he's trying to give. This comes up very big in the Sermon on the Mount. So I want you to go with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Jesus is speaking in of course, the Sermon on the Mount, that very famous. It's something that we should read often. And he starts off, we're going to start off in verse 15. He tells them to watch out for false prophets. They're coming to you in sheep's clothing, but inside they're ferocious wolves. We've got to be careful of those. And he says you're going to recognize them by their fruit, right? Jesus said, what you've been given is going to be taken from you and given to those who produce fruit. Now he's talking about fruit over here. He says, recognize them by their fruit. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit. That's how you can tell. What is the person doing? You can look at their life and don't listen to just their words. Don't judge them on outward appearances. What are they actually doing? What physical things do they do? What are they producing in their faith, in their Christian walk? What are they doing? It's very, very simple, really. Look at them. Every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. If you have a tree and it just won't produce, it's just going to soak up resources. It's no good. Get rid of it. Throw it in the fire. Maybe at least it can keep you warm. Thus, by their fruit, he says, you will recognize them. But this doesn't just apply only to prophets and how we can tell prophets or false prophets. This applies to all of us. Jesus says in verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. You know, there's certain scriptures in the Bible that strike fear in me. They're good to, you know, to be reminded of when I come to them and read them. But often when I read Jesus' words, you know, Jesus is one of, he seems so much more approachable, right? Like, the sinners could go to Jesus. You know, those that were considered not that important, you know, children at that time could go to Jesus, and he was welcoming and he was loving, and, you know, he'd forgive you. And if all the mean Pharisees were coming after someone, he'd say, hey, now, you know, we all guilty here. You know, get the plank out of your own eye. And we like these things. And he's really approachable, and he should be, and he is, and he's God, and he wants us to come to him. But he also says some things that scare me. When we really take a hard look at some of the things Jesus says, it could be scary. Because what we want is that I can always continuously be the sinner, and Jesus is always continuously going to take me that way. And I don't have to grow. But when he says things like this, which we've just read and we're going to read, I got to pause and realize, you know, he does say to the woman caught in adultery, go on and don't sin anymore. Stop doing what you're doing. The man born blind, right? Stop living the way you've been living, or something worse might happen. I'm not calling you to stay this way, right? And I have to grow. I have to produce fruit. Otherwise, I'm no good for anything but to be cut down. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. That's scary to me, right? That I need to wake up. I need to pay attention to what I'm reading. But only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Only he who does what my Father wants. Only he that's going to produce fruit. Only he that's going to actually go work out in the field. Not just say that he's going to work out in the field. Not everyone who just gives lip service is going to enter the kingdom of heaven, but those that do what my Father wants. Verse 22, many will say to me on that day, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I'll tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Prophecy, driving out demons, performing many miracles. Jesus says, this is not the fruit I'm looking for. These are good things. Someone who has a demon that is cast out of them, that is a good thing, that person being freed. Someone who is sick and who is healed, that's a good thing, that person no longer having that illness. These are good things. Talking about something that is going to happen, right? Letting people know, warning. These are good things. But Jesus says, this is not really what I'm looking for. These things should help direct people's attention to what I want. But these in and of themselves don't save those that do them. Don't save those who even receive them. That's not what it's all about. I'm not looking for that. I want something more than that, Jesus says. Just because you're able to perform miracles or cast out demons does not mean you're doing what I want you to do. So we don't judge people based on that fruit. Let's read on. Verse 24. Therefore, Jesus says, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, that's where I got practice what he preaches from that verse, so if you didn't make that connection. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. Now, how many times have you heard the Sermon on the Mount? How many times have you read through the Sermon on the Mount? I hope it's been a lot, right? How many times have you put those words into practice? That's what Jesus wants. Don't just hear what I'm telling you. Don't just read these words that have been recorded for us and walk away and say, that was nice. Someone ought to try that sometime. Maybe one day I'll get to that. The one who actually hears them, or in our case, reads them, and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. Prepared, right? Ready, because they're living the way God wants them to live. That's a wise person. But, verse 26, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the stream rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. I was blessed one time, a gentleman let me stay at his beach house in Alabama. And this beach house, literally, if you were to stand on the balcony, you look down and you see water. Like literally, it was the first, every other house was back a ways. I think at one point in time, other houses were as far out as this one was. But, you know, it was built on sand and those weren't there any longer. But this one still was. And the waves would actually crash under your house. It was really amazing. And it was enjoyable. We had a great time. That's not a house that I would place roots in and say, this is my forever house, as people like to say now. Because that house, I don't even, it's going only so long before that house is no longer going to be able to stand. It's built on the sand. It was nice. It was enjoyable. That's not where you want to be when a hurricane comes, right? We want to try to live lives that are nice, that are enjoyable, that impress people, but they're not built on anything. They're built on sand. And Jesus says that is not very smart. That's not wise. Unfortunately, too many Christians are living on houses built on sand. We'll come, we'll show up for Bible class, we'll show up for the sermon, we'll listen, we'll say, that was a great sermon. Oh, wow, I really like that. And then we'll walk away and nothing in our life mimics the words we just heard. We go back to doing everything that we've been doing and we're not actually doing what Jesus said to do. And we think we're doing pretty well. But unfortunately, we're sitting in the company of Pharisees. And we can look out at other people, thieves, prostitutes, and say, oh, those people, they don't stand a chance. And we look at our house and it looks nice and we don't realize it's built on sand and it's not going to be ready when Jesus returns. That's too many Christians. Too many Christians are trying to go through the wide gate, as Jesus talks about. We think we're going through the narrow gate, but we're really going through the wide gate. We like to hear the sermon of the narrow and the wide gate in the verses before we just read in verse 13. And we think that has to do with Christians and non-Christians. But remember, Jesus is talking to a lot of people that are sitting down listening to Jesus. That's who he's talking to. And many of them think they're going through a narrow gate when they're actually on the wide gate. And they don't realize they're walking on sand. They're building their house on sand. And they're not going to be ready. Putting Jesus' words into practice. So I want to look at some of these. This is important. What has Jesus been saying? What should we do? I don't want to be on the last day saying, Lord, Lord, I was doing these things. And he say, I don't know who you are. I don't know who you were listening to. Well, I don't know. You might have been listening to me, but you weren't doing it. I don't want to be in that position. So go back with me some. Let's look at some of the things Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. He starts off in chapter 5 with what's common, what's known as the Beatitudes, right? The blessings. You're in a good place if you are poor in spirit. Emptying of yourself. Don't be full of yourself. Empty yourself out. Be poor in spirit. Mourn. Recognize how serious the situation that we are in is. Recognize there are those that do not know God. That there are those who are not going to be saved. That should hurt us. Blessed are the meek, those who are able and willing to lower and humble themselves. Don't think more of themselves than they should. You're in a good place when you hunger and thirst for righteousness. I hunger and thirst for too many things that my body desires. I want to chase after the things that I think are going to make me happy. And Jesus says, don't do it. And I'm going to sit here and I'm going to read this. And I'm going to walk out these doors and I'm going to hunger and thirst for whatever Joseph wants. Is that wise? Or is that foolish? I think it's foolish, right? Merciful, pure in heart, peacemakers. You're in a good place when you are actually persecuted, Jesus says. We don't live this way, right? We don't live this way. But Jesus says this is how you're supposed to live. He talks about not hating people. Hating people is like murder. And I'm going to look out and I'm going to judge murderers. And I'm going to look at people who hurt others and kill and think, oh, man, unfortunately for them, they're going to hell. And I'm going to turn around and I might hate people around me.
I'm foolish. Adultery, he says. You're worried about people committing adultery, but yet in your own mind, in your own heart, you're committing adultery. Too many people in the church are addicted and with pornography. We watch movies that may not be considered that, but very well are. We feast our eyes on things that we should not. Jesus says, don't do that, because you're the same boat as them. But we want to try to give ourselves a pass. Pretty foolish of us. We make promises we don't keep. We say things we don't mean. Jesus says, don't do that. He says, turn the other cheek. But I want to make sure that my rights are taken care of. I want to make sure I get my place. I'm not willing to be stepped on. I deserve my spot. And when someone hurts me or someone does something to me, I need to make sure that they know and they're put into their place. Jesus says, don't do that. Let yourself be slapped. Let yourself be mocked. Let yourself be stepped on. And I hear what you're saying, Jesus. But when I go out there, I got to operate in the real world. And that just isn't going to work. Keep standing on that sandy hill and see how well it supports you. Why can't I do what Jesus says to do? Am I really that dense? Am I really one of these Christians that talks a good game, but I'm walking down a wide, sandy path, thinking everything's great, judging others that very well may be on the narrow path? I don't want to be in that boat. I don't want to be like the Pharisees. I want to love people that can't stand me. I want to love people that hate me. There are people in this world that do not like you specifically because you believe and claim Jesus Christ. Jesus says, love them. That's what he says. Love them. Turn the other cheek. Love them. Chapter 6, he says, give to the needy. I'm emptying of myself. I got to get rid of Joseph. I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I need to be more like Jesus. Verse 6, he says, start giving your stuff away. Give to the needy. What are you going to hang on to it for? And I say, okay, let me read. I'm going to give to the needy. But let me check my bank account and make sure I have enough to give to the needy. If I got anything left over, I will. Foolishness, right? Foolishness. Church, something that he mentions here in the Sermon on the Mount that is so simple, but I fear too many Christians don't do it enough, is pray. Pray. When you pray. Not if you pray, but pray. Sometimes I hope we're praying often. I hope we're praying before meals. I hope we're praying when we put our heads down on the pillows. I hope we pray when we gather with our family. But church, we have to be praying. We have the ability and the opportunity to communicate with God. He invites us into a conversation with Him. And too often we're listening to all these other voices in the world. We're talking to too many other folks, too many other things. We're investing our time and our mental capacity in so many other things that are really set out to hurt us. And our Savior, our Creator of the universe, is inviting us to say, hey, come talk with me. Pray. The more you pray, the better you'll get at it. The more you'll receive from it. Share your prayers with others. Join with each other in prayer. Don't hear what he says and then walk away from it and not do it. And the other that goes with it is fasting. Fasting. We don't do this. And part of it, some of us do, but we don't talk about it. And that's fine because Jesus says, you know, it's for you and God. Don't do it. Or don't let others know, right? That's between you and God. But there's something there that we need to be taking advantage of. God is telling us how to live. Don't walk away from it. And the last part before we get back into chapter 7 is Jesus says, don't store for yourselves treasures on earth, where rust and moth and things like that will destroy. Store up treasures in heaven. And don't worry about all these things. Don't worry about the little things that everyone thinks is so important. And it's so easy. And I read it and I walk away and I don't do it. It's time that we get real. It's time we start building on rock instead of sand. We look around at the church in the West, the church in America, and we see it getting weaker and weaker. We ourselves, as a people, may be getting wealthier and wealthier. Life may be getting easier in many ways, but the church is getting weaker. The teachings of the church are getting weaker. We look out and we complain. Or we look out and we say it's because of these people over here that are attacking the church. And it's these folks over here that are against the church. And they very well may be. But we really can't control them. But it could be also that the church itself has been building on sand for too long. And we haven't actually been doing what Jesus tells us to do. Oh, we give them good lip service. We'll sing some amazing songs. We'll say some powerful prayers, but when it comes down to actually doing what Jesus says to do, I got a lot of other things on my schedule, Jesus. Matthew 25, Jesus has a story about the sheep and the goats. You can go there with me if you like. And Jesus says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he's going to sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations are going to come before him. He's going to separate people like a farm, like a shepherd would, sheep from the goats. He's going to have the sheep on his right side and the goats on the other. And then the king will say, the king. Remember, Jesus is the king, right? Who are you following? Are you following the king or some court jester? The king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by the Father, come to the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Because I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. I needed clothes, and you provided me some clothes. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came and visited me. And those on the right are going to say, King Jesus, we never saw you like this. What are you talking about? He's going to say, every time you did that to one of those, that you were serving me. Every time you met someone who was a stranger and welcomed them, you were welcoming me. Anytime you looked after those who could not look after themselves, you were looking after me. And so come. And then he's going to turn to the goats and say, no, you didn't do anything. You didn't help anyone hungry. You didn't clothe anyone. You didn't feed anyone. You didn't visit anyone. You didn't help anyone that was sick. Actually, he's going to say, you didn't do it to me, right? And they're going to say, we never saw you like that. Of course we would have done that for Jesus. And he says, if you're not willing to do it for any of these, then you really wouldn't have been able to do it for me. Because, you know, when the king came, that's how he came. Poor, humble, lowly. He was an outcast. Some people didn't want him around. That's who he associated with. And those on that wide, sandy path said, you don't know. You're not who you think you are. You're not anyone that we should follow. We got this under control. We know how to worship God. We know what he wants. You don't. You're one of those. And he's going to tell them, go away. Where are we going? Well, you go to the place where we throw trees that don't produce fruit. That's where you're going to go, right? Away from me. Church, read the Gospels. Read what Jesus says and then do it. That's what he tells us to do here. Do what he says. Because if we don't, we're fooling ourselves. But one day, there won't be anyone else to fool, right? It's going to all come to light. And there we're going to be trying to fight a storm coming our way on a sandy beach. And it's going to look real nice until it starts to fall and crumble. I don't want to be in that spot. I want to do what Jesus says. It's difficult. It's hard, right? But it's good. It's good. He loves you. And he wants you to live the best life like he lived. Like John the Baptist lived, like the apostles lived, like the early Christians did. And they had something that the world didn't understand until they met Jesus. The church that was poor, the church that was slaves, the church that was persecuted, the church that was thrown in jail, the church that was executed for following Jesus changed the world. The church that's comfortable, the church that's content, the church that's fat and happy is the church that falls. We have to make a choice. Who are we going to listen to and obey? The king or the crowd? That's where we stay in church. We offer you an invitation this morning. If you haven't given your life to Jesus Christ, you can. We have water that we can baptize you in. You can follow, commit to following Jesus in his footsteps. If you want to be a member of this congregation here at West Chew, we give you that opportunity. And if you need any prayers of this church, you have the opportunity to come down as we stand and sing.